Previously on The Vanishing Act.
So this is Hollywood, eh?
Take that, Kraut!
The night is my goddess, the lonely heart is my lighthouse.
What is happening?
You're sad, sad man!
I'm rich and you're lost. Are you Jewish?
Sure.
Walk down Sunset Boulevard at night.
Come to this exclusive party at my rich mansion.
And you can find...
Eric Hunt, I'd like you to meet RKO screenwriter C.W.
Griffson.
Anything.
Shit.
I'd say that sufficiently brings us up to now.
Ah, sir. Excellent to meet you for the first time, Mr. Eckhart. Yes? You said his name already, right? Of course you did. Very nice to meet you. C.W. Griffson is my name, and can I get you a drink? You look like we need a drink.
Oh, thank you, C.W., for taking him under your wing. Due to his obvious Jewishness, Herr Eckhart has had an impossibly difficult time being taken seriously.
Madame!
Jesus!
No, just Hubert, my animalistic maid. Oui, Hubert?
Maxine Boer left a message for you.
Her excuse for standing us up, I'm sure.
And you have guest wink wink waiting in foyer.
Thank you, Hubert. Help yourself to a snack of your choice.
Oui!
Just one! If you gentlemen would excuse me, I will connect with all of you again before the night is out, as are my hostess duties. C.W., always a pleasure. Eric Hart, welcome to our little city. Hubert!
For Augie Eckhart and the pretentiously titled C.W. Griffson, emotions were running high. Suffice it to say, for one of them, that emotion was abject rage, and for the other, it was sheer defecate-your-pants panic. I'll allow you to decide which was which.
Augie, look, I'm sure you have a lot of...
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Tricky to tell.
The Vanishing Act by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. Part 6. The Tuxedo.
You asshole.
Here, try the olives. Germans, you know? Poor little guy must not be used to an open bar. Nazis hating free things and all. Unless you've gone blind, old sport. I'm sure you've noticed we're in the middle of a...
Ah! Those olives have pits in them. You're gonna kill me.
You're making a scene. And no, they don't. They're Calacama the K ones.
Yes, those have pits.
Prove it.
What do you call this?
It was a pit.
The hard part. Some olives have them. You just swallow like this. See? Oh! God, that is inedible. Why would they do that?
You leave in the middle of the night?
No, I left during the day. You were sleeping in odd hours then?
Without so much as a fucking note.
Here, drink this. That's my thirsty boy.
You know, I got hunted down to pay rent once you left. You were at the beginning of a 2-year lease.
Why didn't you just leave?
I can't control the things I feel guilty about.
Have another.
Ugh, that's good.
So you stay there this whole time?
Yes.
Fascinating. What'd you do?
The stakes don't allow for us to have that conversation here, so let's just say stuff. Where were you?
Look, it's a long story.
It wasn't.
Do you remember when we performed auditory hypnosis on those two spooky tourists from New England?
You mean the ones with that duck?
That's right. There was a duck.
No, I've completely forgotten about that incredibly specific experience.
Really? That's impressive. How do you train yourself to forget stuff like that? Is it like an Eastern medicine deal? Because I have a thing about ginger.
Useless. Why didn't you send me a letter or...
Hey, I know we're both feeling a lot of things right now.
I thought you died.
So?
So? So? I don't know. That's a big deal. Death strikes when we least expect it. And...
Were you worried about me?
No, I was not. It was a grief, but it was a mad grief, not a sad grief.
Augie, I didn't know you cared like that. We're... You're my...
Don't say it.
Friend. We're friends. I have a friend. Let's toast. I want to remember this moment.
Yes to the drink, no to the friends. We are not friends. You left. That's a big deal.
Trust.
Whatever I have to do to earn your trust back, I will do it. I promise you, Augie. In fact, I know exactly what'll put that bratwurst-eating smile back on your angry, sweaty face. Remember this?
Are those my Lamarck notes, you son of a...
I thought you'd be happy.
I thought you sold them to Picard.
Well, I did. Most of them. This one was a bit compromised from that note Miss Van Hatsler wrote to you. You lucky dog, eh? So he wouldn't take it. But on the plus side, I saved you the most valuable page.
Yeah, after you stole them while I was sleeping. Years of my life's work gone. Stolen by an American girlfriend-killing hack.
She was my fiancé.
Still dead.
Augie, breathe. Come on. Remember a minute ago when we toasted our friendship?
Not friendship.
We laughed. We cried.
We did neither.
There's still time to do both.
I thought you were dead. And now I want to be the one to kill you. I...
Wow. So that's what those Aryan leather jockeys said to you? Well, thank God you made it out okay, right? Right, everyone? Well, let's raise a toast to the small, non-fascist German, to Augie Eckhart, my brave little toaster.
What?
Now let's keep this party going. Sorry.
Just give me that paper and we can agree to never see each other again.
Wait. But Lily von Hammer is here.
Lilith von Hitzler.
What did I say?
You said Lily van... It doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure I said Lilith von Hummer.
It doesn't matter.
Pretty sure I said that. But irregardless, she's here in L.A.
Mr. Eckhart?
Sweet God!
Rhett D'Elia, Administrative Services.
Do you know what that means?
No one does. But big fan of the mustache.
Thanks, pal. I'm sorry, who are you?
C.W. Griffson, screenwriter.
Oh, since fucking when?
Listen, fellas, looks like I've gotten on the wrong side of the cleaning crew.
You pair, mad!
But before I go, does the name Maximilian Bohr mean anything to you?
No.
Yes.
Eckhart.
Yes.
You said your name was Griffson.
C.W. Griffson, screenwriter. But the name Eckhart does mean a lot to me.
Mr. D'Elia, get back here this instant.
And I like to be included in things.
We all do, but there isn't enough time. Look for Maximilian Bohr. Find a way into his exclusive dinner parties. There, you'll find Lamarck.
Lamarck?
Lamarck! If you follow the breadcrumbs to the dinner party, you'll see things here are not what they seem.
That is so vague.
Are you saying they're not literal breadcrumbs?
Oh, wait, is this a mystery?
Sure, pal. Whatever rows your boat.
Tackling Mr. D'Elia in three.
Follow the clues, or Lilith's in trouble.
How do you...
Two.
Gotta fly.
One. Ah!
Was that a fucking smoke bomb?
Blast the Administrative Services Department and their penchant for magic.
Is that what they do?
I trust he had not bothered you at all. Eckhart, Mr. Griffson?
No, I'm fine.
Excellent. Well, I hope you're getting along swimmingly. Now, you stay right here. I shall return, but for now, ta-ta. You pair.
My gut is telling me something's not right here.
I know. That was amazing.
How did that D'Elia guy know about Lilith?
It's so unfair that these administrative services guys get to be devil-may-care with their trench coats and facial hair and practice elementary stage magic.
I can just feel it in my stomach.
I've been telling the Writers Guild for months we should break into something like that.
Or, actually... Oh, God, how many martinis did you give me?
Dudley Nichols is trying to get us into canning, but he's from Ohio, so...
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my favorite shirt.
That is a great new trick. It looks and smells so realistic. He's in administrative services, too.
Oh, God, that's harsh. It burns like vodka burns.
Pull yourself together, man. I'd say you've got about 30... 15 seconds before the rest of this party realizes that's real vomit.
Is there a bathroom?
I assume. Go check upstairs. The nicer bathrooms are always upstairs.
My eyes hurt. Is that normal?
Go clean. I'll distract the civilians. Well, if it isn't my good friend, Mr. Frank Capra, would you mind explaining to the whole room the complex symbolism behind the name Mr. Deeds?
In one of the few moments of correct assumption from Conrad Webley Griffson, Hollywood was full of beautiful houses with beautiful washrooms, all on the second floor. Thus, Augie Eckhart was on a quest to find any room available to clean himself up, and found all doors locked.
Fuck you, Hollywood.
Until he found the one option our story mandated was the correct choice, the bedroom of Vicky and C. Marshall St. Francis.
Oh my God. This is the room where C. Marshall St. Francis probably conceived the entire plot for the novel The Temptress of Buttress Creek, and on twin beds, just like in the novel. Good for you, C. Marshall.
Just then, Another door within the bedroom opened, revealing an only recently dressed Vicky St. Francis and a blonde, devilishly handsome, Pulitzer Prize-winning Englishman that you may remember from previous spontaneous appearances, Mr. Rudyard T. Codswallop.
Oh, come on!
Oh, good God!
Lovely!
You're here too?
Here, God, I can explain. Is that spittle?
It's, no.
Oh, this should be fun.
What can I help you with? A change of clothes, a bit of hush money, perhaps?
Oh, don't waste your pretty little polka-dotted pocketbook, my dear. Herr Eckhart and I go way back. He won't say a thing about what he's just seen, will he?
Of course he won't, because he's a good, caring person who understands what it means to put your life at risk for... Oh my. That is pungent. Eckhart, perhaps we got off on the unpedicured foot. Why don't you peck around in the closet for some of C. Marshall's clothes and throw away the charming brown attire you came in? I'll wait downstairs, and when you're done, come find me. Rudyard?
If it's quite all right, dear, I'd love an exchange with our darling little refugee.
Rudyard, I can't think that's best.
Trust me. Smooches? I need to hear it.
Smooches. But Rudyard.
Smooches.
Yes. Smooches.
God, I hate this country.
Oh, come on. It's good for a row every now and then.
And just what the hell are you doing here? You know, I came to L.A. to escape everyone I knew.
Oh, I don't think that's true. In fact, I believe you're here for the precise purpose of becoming reacquainted with one of our mutual interests.
No. No, if you've decided to try and win Lilith back, I'll...
Win her back? Well, aren't you just your version of chivalrous? No, Herr Eckhart. I'm afraid if I wanted Lilith back, it would be with the utmost difficulty, considering I never really had her to begin with.
Wait, no, but you two...
I see. I must relate to you as I would an undergrad. Fornication does not equal possession, you would-be Galahad. If copulation equaled possession, I'm afraid I'd be arrested for running a human farm.
They have those.
May we return to your line of questioning?
Oh, right. Sorry. Why are you looking for Lilith?
Who's to say I am? I had no clue Miss von Hitzler had found her way to the US&A. But now I know, thanks to you, darling.
You... I thought...
Your first problem. What Lilith wants to do in the land of the free is between her and Lady Liberty.
Who's she?
Ah, wouldn't you like to know? I'm afraid all of us have our own reasons for chasing a red, white, and blue dream. What Lilith's is her own business, the same way mine is my own.
So then you're not here for Lilith?
As the French say, non. As the Germans say, nein. And as they say, stateside, get away from my daughter, you short, scary little foreigner. I'm here for the fundamental next step in my work.
I thought your work was poaching other people's stories.
I love it. You're like a never-ending bruise. Yes, well, as you know, creativity comes in spurts, and sometimes inspiration takes a while to strike. Hollywood, however, is the new frontier, the next step in our work's evolution, where creativity and inspiration are the optional cherry on top of the sundae instead of the ice cream itself, a system run by some of the most hard-nosed and obsessive men in the country.
I'm pretty sure you can't call them hard-nosed.
I'm pretty sure you can't either.
He couldn't.
Okay, I'm gonna start changing clothes.
By all means. Would you like me to burn your old clothes?
Please. I don't think C. Marshall St. Francis is gonna like it when he finds out that you're doing sex with his wife, as they say.
Have you ever heard the term, behind every great man is a great woman?
You mean like butt stuff?
Not quite, although keep taking your clothes off and we'll see how it goes. Well, behind every great man in Hollywood's great woman is me.
You're shtupping everyone's wives? I don't know whether to be angry, jealous, or impressed.
I strive for a combination of the three.
That's too much, even for you.
Is it really? And how's Jewing it up going for you? Oh God, choose a different shirt. That one hurts my head.
Okay, the whole me being Jewish thing was a misunderstanding on Vicky's part that I decided not to correct, not a lie. Is this shirt better?
Omissions, lies, potato, tomato. Here, try the Virgin of White.
What a ridiculous double standard you have.
It's gotten me this far. By the way, do you want to know how many wives?
I'm ashamed to say that I do.
So far, baker's dozen. And that's not even getting into some of the husbands of the wives, because let me tell you, shame is a lucrative industry.
Yeah, For you? Do you even know how long it's been since I've been with anyone? And here you come in and...
It's quite an easy racket to get involved in if you can make the moral pardons to do so.
Is there like a raffle or a number to telegraph?
Nothing so advanced. You just have to exude an air of mystery, charm, and discretion and wait for them to flock to you. I simply don't know how to put it any differently.
Sounds right up my alley.
I have no doubts that it will be anecdotal at best. Oh, one slight exclusion, mind you. If you do decide to join in the fray, do stay clear of Maxine Boer.
De Boer?
No, Maxine.
No, like De Boer?
Yes, of the Maxine variety.
Like De Boer from the story about Lamarck that you stole?
Ah, the Wizard of Versailles. Pulitzer...
Pulitzer Prize recipient for literature 1933, I know. That De Boer?
No, Maxine. Listen, I'd love not to define our whole relationship by competition. You understand? She and her husband have some strong, non-Jewish ties to the film industry that I've been weaning my way into for my next little project. So I've settled on her. She's been the ruby in my slipper, if you catch my drift.
I don't understand the reference.
No one does. Yet. Herein lies the problem.
There's a point to all this? You're not just bragging?
Two birds and all that. Our lovely hostess for the evening, Vicky, has her suspicions about my cottage industry.
Interesting way to put it.
And if she finds out I'm attending one of Mr. Boer's little get-togethers, those suspicions would be confirmed. She would immediately cut me off, slander my name, lie about the pleasure we shared, the whole nine. So I've never been able to get my size 8.5s in the door. But you, my lovely Manischewitz stowaway, could easily find your way in there and put in a good word to push my little project along. Or else this particular Jew might have a lot of explaining to do.
You can't tell Vicky. They would kill me if they found out I wasn't Jewish.
Your secret's as safe with me as mine with you. If you make it to that dinner and put in a good word.
What about Lilith?
What about her?
Maximilian Boer and Lilith, don't they have something to do with each other?
God, I hope not. She can do so much better than him.
Find Maximilian or Lilith in trouble.
What's it now?
Sorry, a drunk brain. Oy vey, you know?
Right. I'll take that as my cue to leave. This window opens, right? Of course it does. How else would I have thrown your clothes out of it mere moments ago? Delightful! So good to see you, Eckhart. On the right side of the argument and the wrong side of the world. Well, I'm off to fuck Greta Garbo. Ta-ta!
Follow the breadcrumbs, or Lilith's in trouble.
Like a mystery.
Sure.
Huh. Who knew all you needed to sober up was to run into a literal human-sized asshole? Oh, God, here comes a second wave. Shh.
Hello, occupants? It's C.W. Grifson, screenwriter. I'm looking for my dear friend, a sad-looking German man. Is he in there?
Oh, Augie, thank God I found you. I think that maid wants to eat me. Hey, looking sharp there, buddy. Nice tux.
Is that what this is? Damn it. How'd you sneak away?
I got Frank Capra to start talking about his new vodka company, Vapra. I think I've bought us an hour or two.
What's in that cup? Is that water?
Nah, that's Vapra, baby. Yeah, it's not the best, but they're a young company.
Water. I need water. I need sober now.
I got you, pal. If I was water, I'd be in the bathroom.
I need... I can't puke on C. Marshall St. Francis's tuxedo. I need...
There's no cup in here, but there's a sink. You need a drink from the tap. Come on.
Cup? You have in your hands. Use that.
This is full of Capra vodka, old sport. Vapra. It's a small batch. I can't just throw it away.
Oh, God. Who's that?
Mr. Eckhart, are you still changing in there? I need to speak to you immediately.
Cup for water now.
Okay. I'll just... Is there a... Aha! A shoe.
We can't pour vodka in a shoe.
What? No, it's for the water. Or the vomit. Whichever comes first.
I am not drinking shoe.
Mr. Eckhart.
Still changing, ma'am.
Grifson.
All right, fine. I'll drink the Vapra. Oh, thank God I didn't invest in this company. Hey, buddy. You okay in there?
Eckhart. CW in there with you? You bear trace is sent to the room. I will not allow a rumpus in my personal chambers.
Augie! The maid! I need to hide. Quick, distract her.
Oh, I feel so much right now.
I'm gonna hide in the shower. Don't let her find me.
Okay, just get in fast. Why would you turn it on? What the fuck? Just what the fuck?
Down, Hubert. Heel. Eliacott? Oh, you went with the tuxedo. I see. Strong choice. Is CW in there with you? Apparently, a test batch of Frank Capra's vodka, Vapra, was stolen from his attaché, and CW was the last one seen near the coast.
Hubert, smell.
What? No. No, I haven't seen CW in minutes. In fact, I was coming down to look for him. You? I was coming down to look for you, because we were gonna talk, right? He's not here.
Just decided to bathe yourself, then?
That's for my clothes. They're being washed that way.
You're washing your clothes in a shower.
It's a German thing.
Eriacott, I visited Germany on many a Girl Scouts of America take the Rhineland tour, and I never saw such behavior. And we stayed in Frankfurt.
When the... oh boy. Bad Germans started hating us Jews, they made us wash our clothes in showers and town squares to humiliate us. They'd point and laugh and exclude us. So, out of shame for my vomit incident, I did that now.
You bear? Smell.
Clean.
Thank you, Hubert. Now go get a snack.
Oui.
Just one. I need to speak to Herr Eckhart alone. Hubert! I am so sorry to embarrass you like that. My goodness, I must be still so flushed from our misunderstanding earlier. You know I'd never want to bring up your bad memories again, right?
Yes.
Sometimes things happen so quickly we don't get a moment to really measure up the situation.
Yes.
In fact, they happen so quickly we don't even have time to know what happened. And something that looks really terrible is actually just an innocent, what your people call a snafu, I believe.
Yep.
But just in case there are any lingering misconceptions... You see, I was speaking to Mr. T. Codswallop as he does outreach for my Humane Cultural Council Committee, and we were both saying how what we could really use on the board was a perspective like yours. You see, we're all about inclusion at the HCCC. Rudyard is obviously from England. Darcy Buchanan is a Democrat. Heck, Mason Twatsworth has two cats. But what we don't have is a you.
So it's like a club? Are there perks?
A hard bargainer, I see. Yes, there are. You'd be invited to first-class exclusive events throughout the city. Film premieres, concerts, sporting events, dinners, parties, dinner parties, public ridicules, mahjong tournaments. All you need to do is say yes, and never mention the meeting you walked in on.
Dinner parties?
Not enough for you? Fine. If you take on any of the organizational duties or recruitment positions, there is a small salary involved as well.
In recruitment? How would I...
Yes, fine. I could find you census reports, city maps, blueprints, demographic breakdowns, full lists of every registered employee and every legal job in the city of Los Angeles.
How do you...
We know a guy.
Makes sense.
So what do you say? Care to join our little cultural crusade, Eriacott? Or do you need more convincing?
Is Maximilian Boer a member...
Maximilian Boer, our white whale, as your people say. Excellent. Already starting to work without even seeing financial compensation. That must be the Jewish work ethic I've read so much about. He is not a member. Yet. But I know for a fact that he hosts these exclusive little dinner parties. And I know his wife, Maxine, wonderful woman, the kindest soul in the room, but a cold-hard bitch when it comes to letting her husband join charity groups. But C. Marshall attended a dinner there once. I believe I can get you into one if you can promise to work your exotic yarmulke magic on Maximilian. I warn you, though, he's one tough hamataschen, as your people say.
We certainly do. Yes, then yes, I'll do it. Sounds good. But, oh, But one more thing. Rettalia, is he a member of this club, or...
Rettalia? Oh, God, no. We don't let anyone from administrative services into the group.
Why?
Are you... Oh! The joke! Hilarious, Herr Eckhart. You know, I never knew the Germans to have a sense of humor. Must be the Jew in you.
Yeah.
Take this stack of unmarked, freshly printed bills. We'll call it a salary advance. And again, as per our agreement, your work officially begins tonight, as does your discretion. I hope to see you downstairs on your way out. I'll leave you here to finish up.
So, do I have a job now?
What a woman.
Jesus Christ, you're soaked.
Yeah. Don't you know how a shower works?
You didn't have to actually turn on the shower, dumbass.
And if I didn't turn on the shower, how would I have covered my scent? Didn't think of that, did ya?
You'd better change. You're dripping all over the carpet.
Good point. Do you think it's okay if I rifle through the closet?
Yeah, at this point, go for it.
Thanks. Congrats on the job, by the way. I've been trying to break into that committee for the past year or so. Very exclusive. So it's really great that you just got in without putting in any groundwork or anything. That's really great for you.
Now I just gotta get to the bottom of this missing Lilith thing. And I think this Maximilian Boer is gonna be the answer.
Maximilian Boer? He has the most exclusive dinner parties in Los Angeles.
So I've heard. Why is everyone obsessed with his damn dinner parties?
Because, my uncultured friend, eating is the greatest form of fun one can have, besides sex and variations on sex. But Maximilian Boer, that's... I gotta come with you.
That's a huge fuck no from me, friend.
Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Augie, my friend, old sport. Remember when I called you that? I don't call anyone that.
You call everyone that.
The point is that it's a term of endearment, and I endear you. Please, I gotta go.
Why? What's so special about these dinner parties?
First of all, Augie, they're exclusive. That's a big deal to people like me. And second of all, do you know who Maximilian Boer is married to?
Yes, the Boer of the Maxine variety.
Exactly. Maxine Boer, a woman so outspoken about her connections to Hollywood affairs, it's downright cruel.
Can you put some pants on, please?
Now, I know this may not seem like much to a guy who just got a brand new job without doing anything to earn it, but the rest of us need something too. I don't know if you know this, but being a screenwriter is actually the only job I can think of that makes less money than a real writer. The big business to get into here in Hollywood is the business of Hollywood wives.
You too? God, what fucking moral depravity have I sunk into?
Moral depravity? This is 1937 Hollywood, baby. No such thing as a moral code yet. If I can get in with Maxine Boer, she can tell her other friends about me. Then before you know it, I'm getting more clients than Gary fucking Cooper.
Who's that?
I'm not quite sure yet. But the fact that I know his name is something, that's all that matters here.
What about your book? Aren't you even trying to be a writer anymore?
That's part two of this plan. Once I've wowed Maxine with my prowess, I'll get her to put in a good word with Maximilian, who has strong non-Jewish ties to the film industry, and he can get my movie produced. See, it's not a book anymore. It's a movie now. Then it's straight and narrow, I swear.
I can think of multiple parts of your two-part plan that don't work.
Well, it's the first draft of a plan, and like any writer, I hate rewrites.
If that Rhett guy was right, there may be something big going on here. Something about Lilith and Maximilian Boer and Lamarck.
Exactly. This is gonna be big. It could even be...
Don't say it.
A mystery.
God damn it, now I'm intrigued.
Me too, old sport. Me too.
If I take you to this dinner, no funny business. We're here to find out about Lilith and Lamarck.
From what I understand, I just need to plant this seed in Maxine.
Gross.
Then, I'm as good as on call.
On call?
Yeah, I think they use a raffle or a number to telegraph or something. You haven't said, do you like the tuxedo? I didn't want you to be the only one.
Thanks for the solidarity.
Yeah, but mine has tails.
All right, fine. But let's get out of here before any more side plots show up.
Ah! Can we take the window? The only person I want to see less than that maid is Frank fucking Capra.
You know what? Fine. It wouldn't be the strangest thing to happen tonight. Oh, fuck. That's a bush.
Good aim.
Do you even know where we're going?
Yeah. I'm parked around here somewhere. It's the brown one. Is that? Oh, no. That's white. Whew. It's dark.
Oh, shit. You know what?
What?
I never met C. Marshall St. Francis.
Oh. Was that a thing for you?
I mean, yeah. Initially, yeah.
You want to go back in?
You know what? Fuck it. Wasn't meant to be.
Destiny be a tricky she-devil. So,
I never asked you. How did you know Lilith von Winkle even made it to L.A. anyway?
Oh, well, allow me to tell you. See, it all started when you fled the country in the middle of the night. Hey, Picard, what do you want me to do with this Tuileries monogram silly putty? It's not exactly a toy, but also not exactly a tchotchke.
You know, kid, that reminds me of a story that happened just before Griffson graced the bauble confectionery with these phony baloney notes. When this mysteriously trench-coated person came knocking at my door in the middle of the night. Always in the middle of the night with the knocking and the shouting and the... Sweet Mother Moshe, who are you? What are you bursting in for? I've put on the sign. We're closed on odd days.
Sorry to bother you, friend. I just came here to get some baubles. The finest in all of Paris, I've heard. You did only have 6 locks on the door, right?
Not counting the footlock right down there by your feet, yeah.
Footlock. Wild, yes. Got it.
Yeah, there you go. Now, who are you? What are you doing in my shop? Are you here to rob me? Because Trenchcoat, when I tell you what the revenue stream is for this place, I promise you will be sorely disappointed.
No, I assure you, kind Parisian merchant, my robbing days are behind me. I just need to find the owner, who I assume is you.
Good guess.
I know. And ask you some questions.
Questions? Always with the questions. Like what? Because I got questions too!
Questions?
Like, why are you coming around to my shop 28 hours after we close?
Because I need...
And why are those patrolmen yelling at you during what I recognize as quiet hours?
It was a simple foot chase. Hardly anything new.
And if you're gonna come cramming into my shop like a stag night regret, are you at least gonna buy something?
All right, fine. To answer your first question, why am I coming to your shop 28 hours after it's closed? The answer is simply that I knew it would afford us the type of privacy needed to have the conversation we're about to have. Number two, why are the patrolmen yelling at me during what you typically recognize as quiet hours? Well, that's plainly because I respectfully beat them at a collective game of rummy, and they weren't too fond of me taking the compensation that was rightfully mine. And finally, am I gonna buy something? No. Anything else? I like this game.
I'm sure I could think of something.
I'm sure you could. However, I can assure you that if you stick to answering mine, the faster I can get out of your hair. And from the sounds of the horde out there, you're not going to want to marinate on this for long. Thoughts?
Fine. Ask your questions and get your bupkis out.
Excellent. First question, does this window open?
The one next to it does. That one is just for show.
Why wouldn't it be? One moment. May want to plug your ears, Mr...
Picard.
Mr. Picard, thank you. Your ears.
What do you want with my...
Standard issue nitrous oxide secretion device.
Standard? What's this now?
Laughing gas bomb.
Oh.
Now, I'd say we've got about 3.5 minutes before these leather babies remember how to walk, so my actual first question, Mr. Picard, pertains to these.
You don't just say these and shake your aged papers at me, Trenchcoat. For all I know, they could be jury duty papers or a birthday invitation.
These papers describe, in full, the exact mechanical measurements for the invention used to disappear the occupants of the Théâtre des Tuileries, Jean-Jacqueline Lamarck's vanishing box.
Oh, my. These are... How did... What if I say I don't know no such thing about the, disappearance of the Théâtre des Tuileries?
Because, Mr. Picard, it was your great-great-great-grandfather, Henri, that booked Lamarck's show in the first place. You also run the gift shop for the museum where the theater once stood, so deduction achieved.
How did you know about my great-great-great-grandfather?
Well, just some slight poking around, and anyone will find the name Picard at the top of the marquee of people responsible for one of the most notorious theatrical disasters of all time. Right up there with Lamarck himself.
You leave my family name out of this! I've worked hard to hermitize myself so people would forget about us while still maintaining my family's business.
Just couldn't help yourself with the gift shop, then?
Family business adjacent.
Just tell me about these notes. Or who's to say these patrolmen won't also be reminded of the Picard family's kosher tendencies?
Hey, I don't know who you are, Trenchcoat, but I will not be bullied or pushed around in my own shop! You see how disorganized this place is? Only I know where everything is. This is my kingdom, so I tell you how things...
You take every third item in a row, going right to left, obviously, and move that item's entire inventory to the section directly opposite it from the store, hence why home goods only appear in the literature section and the toys inevitably end up at the tchotchke stand by the register. Am I wrong?
Actually, I don't know.
The only one that eludes me, actually, is the silly putty being in the toy section and not the tchotchke section. It being the second item in this row, it must mean you really believe it to be a toy, which is a choice.
Yes, well, I'm not so easy to peg down, you see.
Psychological forces and hidden desires from our past force us into unbreakable subconscious patterns in our present. Do you know who said that?
You?
Freud, but wow, thank you. Now, the notes, or should I unlock these doors and make a quick announcement?
Fine. With the notes and the blackmail, back in my day, we knew how to blackmail. None of this, okay, let's see what this is. This is the mechanical notations for Jean-Jacques Lamarck's vanishing box.
Mr. Picard?
What? I thought maybe you had a hunch and you wanted reassurance or a collector's guarantee.
Contrary to most, I'm familiar with French. Lessons from before I can remember. I know these are his. 1 minute, Mr. Picard?
1 minute already? Fine. What else do you need to know?
What else is there? I've used these measurements down to the meter, down to the millimeter. Tried in different systems, different metals, conductors, containers, contraptions, appliances, contrivances, gadgets, gizmos, ho-hos, bozos, doohickeys, thingamajigs, and wood. Nothing works. Nothing proves that this device caused the disappearance, but it did. I know it did. So I need you, Mr. Picard, you need to tell me right now, 20 seconds, if there are any other messages or notes on these pages that aren't somehow apparent to the human eye. Yes?
I don't know. Maybe do a lemon squirt on the back, and then you put some heat up next to it. Or invisible ink that gets exposed when you put some heat up next to it. Maybe some other means I'm not even aware of that gets exposed when you put some heat up next to it. I don't know. From what everyone in my family says, Lamarck was into some screwy stuff.
Heat. Citric acid plus high carbon emissions, bending back the fibers of the paper and revealing ink that would be only mildly diluted by age and worn down particles. Reignite particles. Hack into the firewall, break into the mainframe, recreate lost particles, hadron and particle tests. California. Yes. Oh, this is so great.
It is?
Mr. Picard, thank you. You've been extremely obliging. Feel free to let them know I robbed you or some other some such to get them out of your shop and after me again. Toodles.
Wait, but you're... Who are you?
Who, me? Lilith von Hitzler is the name. Lilith von Hit... Damn it, I said it twice, didn't I? That'll be the patrolman patrolling. Next time.
Jesus Christ, was that a smoke bomb?
You ready to go?
He robbed me and went that way. And that... is why I always put the silly putty in the tchotchke section now.
Did you just say Lilith von Hitzler was in California?
And he said yes. And that was really the only part I listened to, so I finished out the lease and came here as fast as I could.
Wow. You know, I gotta say, I'm still not entirely sold on silly putty not being a toy. I mean, it's fun. Toys are fun. It's colorful. Toys are colorful.
All right, then. That was enough to remind me that I hate you.
Wait. Come on, old sport. Let's get you home and in bed. You must be tuckered out.
I like sleep. What can I say?
Where are you staying, by the way?
The Chateau Marmont.
Ah, the Chateau. French. Say, remember in Paris when you stayed in my apartment and...
Yes, fine, but the bed's small and mine. You can have the floor.
Wouldn't dream of suggesting anything else, old sport.
Good, now the car?
Oh, yeah, this one's fine.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
Should be open. I don't think these cars have locks yet. Don't worry, old sport. It'll be grand. Just grand.
And so Augie Eckhart and C.W. Grifson, screenwriter... left a party neither of them should have been invited to, in clothes and a car that neither of them owned, to eventually attend a dinner party that three separate parties desperately wanted them to attend. The air was brisk, the ocean steady, and the full moon lit the way for our two... opportunists? As they set out to uncover the mysteries that lay underneath the City of Angels, and watching them pass out of view from the shadows was a lone, trench-coated figure.
They call this place the City of Angels, but brother, it's the devils that run the show. Their pitchforks are the lies. Their horns, the deceit. and their red flicking tails, the stories we tell ourselves to keep us warm at night. The moon is their Cheshire grin, the ocean their salivating kissers, and the roads, well, that's their long flicking tails again.
Come and find me, Herr Eckhart. Come and find me.
Walk down Sunset Boulevard at night and you can find...
Okay, seriously, do you hear that?
Hear what?
The saxophone.
Oh, no, I've been having an inner ear thing.
Anything.
The Vanishing Act is written and directed by Ian Gears and Lauren Grace Thompson. This episode was sound designed by me, Daniel Etty Williams, with original music composed and recorded by Baldemar. This episode featured Sarah Price as Augie Eckhart, Daniel Milhouse as Conrad Webley Grifson, Tina Munoz Pandya as Lilith von Hitzler, Jess Ridenour as Vicky St. Francis, Sam Hubbard as Rudyard T. Codswallop, David Blix as Narrator 2, Rob Kozlarik as Picard Jr., Ian Gears as Hooper, and Lauren Grace Thompson as the narrator. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at Vanishing Pod, or on our website, vanishingpod.com. And join us next time for Part 7, The Rhino Horn.
Hi everyone, Lauren here.
And Ian.
And we're the creators of The Vanishing Act.
We wanted to take a quick second to thank some of our Indiegogo donors for their support of the show.
All donations go toward compensating our artists for their time and dedication to the project.
So without further ado, thank you to...
Steph D.
Victor L.
Susan G.
Dale T.
Hans G.
Jared D.
Lena B.
Lydia H.
Alan B.
Cole G.
Jeremy T.
Lance M.
April H.
Kelly S.
Holly H.
Brian T.
Scott T.
And Antigone B.
And again, from all of us here at Team Vanishing Act,
thank you.
Success. What is it exactly? Is it being the most profitable, the most efficient, the most reliable? The Green Horizon is none of these things. But what we are is a dedicated conglomerate of like-minded people that are here for you. Just ask some of our committed staff.
Brilliant.
Oh, well, I've been here for about, about 3 months, and, it's, five stars, and, dependable service in the sector, and,
Don't believe me. Just ask one of our satisfied customers.
How did you get this number?
Thousands of people have already signed up today to be a part of the Green Horizon experience. So hire us today, please, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Unless, of course, you don't want to be happy. The Green Horizon. You could do worse. Sponsored by Stealing Wheeling Enterprises, The Green Horizon is an independent cargo haulage and contract work business, not to be confused with a lifestyle choice or tasty beverage.